Very quickly, one of the things that happened with the non-traditional pathway is that students had this sort of opportunity to try and decide if they could go in that way or the normal way. So what we've done right now is we've made the non-traditional pathway something where you're not otherwise eligible to apply to the regular pathway so that students aren't gaming that system. The second thing is that we're trying to automate some of the admissions assessment for straightforward files because of the very significant crunch that we're in, and that you'll be getting the non-academic assessment based on the combined CV and the curriculum vitae. And for each document, there will be two readers, and there will be a combined score to make 30%. So we're going to do a file review practicum now, and we really are a bit behind. So we're going to spend about, maybe we'll just do one. What do you think? Yeah, I think we'll just do one. I would like you to look right now at Structured Curriculum Vitae 1. And just to orient you to it, this is a structured curriculum vitae with lots of rules. The applicants must only have a certain length to their curriculum vitae. They must give us a list of verifiers, so people we can phone to say, did this really happen or not? And then at the third part, they have a structured personal experiences narrative, and we ask them the following three questions. How have these experiences helped shape and prepare you for a career in medicine? What do you think could be strengthened or improved? Tell us something about you that does not appear in your CV, but which you believe is pertinent to the admissions committee's consideration of your candidacy. So what you see there is you see the files. I want you to take 5 minutes and review the files and score the file, actually. So the score sheet is also included in your package. That's correct? Oh, the scoring questions will come after. Okay. So just take 5 minutes and review the files, and we'll move forward. So here are the questions that you need to review the files in light of. And you're going to be scoring them with your clickers on a scale of 1 to 7, using the yellow sheet as your guide. Okay? So I'm going to give you 5 minutes to read that over. And then we'll move forward with that. Sample one. I'm just going to get coffee. Maybe about 2 minutes more. Who was a letter evaluator or a CVPN evaluator last year? So there's a few of you. So you'll see that this is really quite a different format, and it's our attempt to be a bit more holistic, so allow you to sort of see the whole person in a kind of an efficient way. So you see their CV, and you see their reflections on their CV as well. I think one important point that I want to bring up for those of you that will be reading this year, and I'm not sure which one was CVPN 1 or not, but many students didn't follow the instructions perfectly. So for instance, when asked, what do you think could be strengthened or improved, which I actually think is a tough question to answer, a lot of students didn't really address that, right? So we're going to have to talk about how to address when a student doesn't do the points that have been asked. Okay, so what I'd like, question over there, Diane. So again, just to remind you of the scoring grid is very weighted towards people who are doing well, because we're trying to spread out the good apples rather than otherwise, so that you see outstanding, excellent, very strong, strong, good, inadequate, and a fail criterion. So what I'd like you to do now, okay, is... Where's the... So take your clickers out.
It should be green. It's green.
It's not showing the...
That's strange. Let me just see.
Do I go like this?
Try going... Oh, somebody just... No, hold on.
I think it's actually ready.
Is it?
Yeah.
But then you can't see the polling. You're supposed to be able to see the polling.
Okay. So what I'd like you to do is to press the criterion that press the number that you feel corresponds to this one, scoring the scope, breadth, and depth of the candidate's experience as included in their curriculum vitae. So please score now. That is the question.
That's on top. Question one.
Yeah. What?
Okay. This thing is supposed to be on. Let me just check and see if I'm going to switch this, okay?
Okay. That's the mouse. It's receiving, I think.
seeing the polling thing at the side.
Fives and fours.
Number 7 exists?
What we tell people when we train for the MMIs, for instance, is that that should happen once a day, once or twice a day.
Sorry about this.
It's resetting everything?
Yeah. I'm just going to try again and see. I think it might have been this. It was in the wrong port.
There it is. Okay, so the polling is open, so please respond.
So I can see we're close to 40 people.
Right.
And you can change your mind up until we tell you when we're going to close the polling. The last thing that you put in is going to be the score that's going to count.
Do we have to log in?
Nope.
There, I think most of you have scored right now. So we're going to... We're going to close the polling now, and we'll see what they... So we get quite a spread here, actually. But most of you, 43% of you, see this candidate as very strong. 20% of you see this candidate as excellent. 18% as strong. So that actually is, you know, without calculating the reliability coefficients and so on, is probably reasonably reliable. If we see sort of a one difference for the majority of the scores, that's acceptable. But what I do find interesting is that a not insignificant number of you saw this candidate as good. I'm not too concerned about 2% that saw this candidate as outstanding. That really fits within what we expect to see. But perhaps what we should do is have a little conversation of what you saw were strong and not so strong, what helped you make a decision in this case. If there's anybody who's willing to volunteer. Anybody, any experienced person that's willing to volunteer? Okay.
Okay, so I did this. Is that working?
Yeah.
Is that working?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I did it quite quickly. Just want to say I'd usually take more time, but the on the scope, I found that as far as the CV portion, because I can't say I really considered the narrative in this question, that the scope was relatively broad. The education was focused on diet. I can't even say that word. Dietetics. Diet. Whatever. And it was ranging, you know, it had some different experience. In the work experience, a number of different opportunities. Some of them were very short, but there was some management, conflict resolution. So the person had worked with people in a team and by him or herself, had worked with children, had worked with adults. Research and publication, well, there was one, so it's one experience. I can't really rank that. And then in the service community, there was... quite a good range as well, from the traditional first aid responder, which I think pretty much everyone has, and some volunteer work and some work with students in school and also political, semi-political groups. So I thought that was good. Obviously has some strength in academics because of her role. And the various certifications really just reflect some of the other experience. The extracurricular was, well, I would say relatively weak, but had already been really reflected and with some good language skills. So I would rate the person relatively strongly.
Okay. Any dissenting points of view or?
Hi. So when I considered that this was not the question of would you recommend this candidate for the program, but it was simply looking at the breadth and depth of the profile of a candidate. I found this to be a very strong traditional candidate. And so when we're talking about breadth and depth, I had read, even though, because we were supposed to for preparation purposes, so I wasn't being delinquent, I had read the sample two. And sample two, I found that exhibited much more breadth and depth in terms of a non-traditional application. So for this particular rating on I rated it a strong but not very strong.
So I think that we're getting at here really all of the standard setting issues, and we'll move on and have another discussion about the other questions. But so what you're talking about a little bit is what is the mental image in my mind, right? Like what is this person applying for? So you need to know that so this person is in the regular Quebec files, right? So the regular Quebec applicants, so that you'll be and you'll all be seeing similar applicants who apply to the same things. I think a second set of things is that while we would love to have criterion referencing, really there's always a little intrusion of norm referencing. So what's the population around us, right? So one of the recommendations that we do make is that I would say that you read maybe about 5 or 10 prior to starting to score so that you get a lay of the land, so that you kind of understand the things that you're going to be seeing, because I think we'll be sending you 100 files to read. So if you read 5 or 10, that's going to be, and please don't leave now because I told you 100. If you read 5 or 10, I think you'll get very rapidly an exposure to different kinds of performance. In this particular file, I can't remember, this is not a file where we see someone who didn't follow the instructions. Yeah, but you will definitely run into people who didn't follow the instructions. And what I would say is please score the actual question, okay? And if the question, because some of the questions relate to following the instructions, you have to talk about what weaknesses you have and so on, then, you know, that's not going to be scored as well if somebody didn't follow the instructions, okay?
Traditional versus non-traditional applicant. I guess I think all of us have some idea of what we're talking about, but maybe just to clarify exactly what that means, and then the implications to our evaluation as well.
Right.
Like in terms of, are we seeking this newly defined non-traditional applicant, and is that more favorable, or how does that, you know, have implications on our evaluation?
I think you're getting at a very sort of big set of topics. So when I said traditional and non-traditional, I actually meant knowing what applicant category someone is in, which is somebody has to choose to be in one or the other. Okay, that's a totally different thing, though, than this kind of softer thing of interpreting a text as an traditional or a non-traditional text. That's going through your head, and it's going through some interpretation. The best thing that I can say for that is, and a couple of years ago, just to give you an example, a couple of years ago I did do a letter readers workshop, okay, and some of you may have been at that letter readers workshop. And one of the things that I, for instance, asked, after reading a letter, do you think this is a male or a female that wrote this? Okay? And it was amazing how strongly people had developed interpretations on the gender of a particular file. What it points at is that there's interpretation going on, okay? So the best thing that you can do is be perspicacious to the interpretations that you're making. And the official party line, or what we would like you to do, is to apply excellence and inclusivity. And alignment, actually. Excellence, inclusivity, and alignment. So that means you're going to look for excellence. In terms of inclusivity, I want you to look at many different experiences as valuable. And it's a hard thing, right? How do you compare sports camp to volunteering at a senior's home, right? How do you compare? You have to understand it within a context. Or how do you compare it to working, you know? It has to be understood in a context. That's the best that I can give you for that.
You see, what I think is emerging when you say breadth and depth, most students coming out of either a Bachelor of Science or a SACEF program work within their own community. So I think you're
most students who come from SAGEPS or from a Bachelor of Science program are working within their community. So I think breadth and depth has to be in terms of the kind of roles they perform. And one of the things that this student mentions in her weaknesses section when she describes herself is that she recognizes that she is somewhat narrowly culturally based. But I'm not sure that scope necessarily refers to that. I think that what you suggested when you talked about why you categorized her as, you know, very strong, is that she did a breadth of different kinds of work. So we have to be clear what we mean by breadth and depth here. Does it mean going beyond one's cultural community? She talks about it as her comfort zone. It was within a fairly, but I don't know whether most applicants would, I mean, it would be very rare to find a student with a Muslim background working at a Jewish summer camp and vice versa.
Right.
So I think that may be too broad a definition of what we mean by breadth and depth. Do you want to address that?
I'll address it, actually. I think that you've got the point that you're sort of hitting the nail on the head, which is that we're looking for the kinds of experiences that people have, okay? So not where they're having them, but the kinds of experiences that they're having, right? So with going back to the summer camp versus sports camp idea, right? Like if both of them allowed you to have leadership, that's a thing, right? And then the other thing that I would say is this notion of reasonableness, which is not everybody gets to, you know, some of these things relate to having resources, right? So you have to value the situation where someone does not have the resources. You have to value the kinds of experiences that they can have, because those things may speak just as strongly about their potential in medicine, right? And I always use the example back in the big bad old 80s, I was a bank teller at the Bank of Commerce. How may I help you? And I actually think that that was one of the best preparatory, you know, sort of 25 years later, I actually think that that was one of the best preparatory experiences that I had for medicine, because, you know, I managed kind of responsibility over money. I served the public, you know, these kinds of things. So you have to sort of try and interpret it. It's a tough one, but we need to do it. So let's go now with scoring the degree to which the candidate has demonstrated thoughtfulness and reflexivity. This may be a little bit more in their writing about their experiences thus far and how these have helped them prepare for a career in medicine. So polling is open. When I get to 43, 44, I'll close the polling. Nobody else seems to be voting. Okay, I'm going to close the polling. So here again, we actually have the exact... Oh, sorry, it went backwards. There it is. So here we have someone who felt to be, actually we have a bit of a better, I would say, psychometrics than we had with the previous one. In that, I think what most of you are trying to say is somewhere between strong and very strong. A kind of a 1-point difference is acceptable to us. That we have very few that are seeing this as excellent and outstanding. So I think we have good agreement on this one. Okay? So I'm going to move now to the third one. So the candidate's ability to assess his or her experience from a position of humility, so identification and discussion of areas to improve upon and for future growth. Polling is open. Okay. Any more responses? Here, okay, so here we have actually pretty good agreement as well, sort of between strong and very strong. But there is a little bit of variability, so I'm just wondering if anybody's willing to volunteer their reasoning for this one. So, Milene.
So I'm in the 10%. So I detected from reading the letter, I think this is the trainee that has a, coming from a family that has probably lots of money, studied at Dawson, Jewish background, perhaps physicians in the family, and she has no choice to come from that background. And I think we can't use it against her. So I felt that in that context, imagining that person and what she wrote, I think she did a great job to reflect on the skills that were brought, what she was brought up with, the background, the training, and she actually was able to push it further, which may be easier for someone that had no physician in their family to explain why they want to be doctors. She probably has a bunch of doctors in her family, but I think she was showing where she can push it. She wasn't lying about background she had, so.
Okay. So that's, any other interpretations or thoughts in the back?
On the good side.
I thought the humility was the usual kind of thing where you go in for an interview and someone says, what are your weaknesses? And of course, my weakness is I work too hard and I care too much. So certainly the fourth paragraph there I found fairly predictable, and possibly it's sincere, but I have no way of knowing that.
So again, in terms of sincerity, so again, it's fascinating to hear how people reason this through, right? Like, all of the things that we are learning from this text, which is, you know, it's like an interpretation, because I do a little bit of qualitative research, so I'm really into the way texts are interpreted, actually. And I think that one of the key points is for you to, again, try to be insightful into where this stuff is coming from. Like Milene, if I'm to interpret, Milene was my trainee, long, long time ago. You talked about a kind of an image of this is the trainee that I would want, right? So you had in your head an idea already from there. So it's coming from there. And I agree with the way you reasoned that through. I also don't disagree with what Dr. Halpern said there about how it might also be interpreted. Again, you got to be insightful into it. So, Blima, and then in behind over there.
Yeah, I want to say that I support. Sorry.
I also thought, funnily enough, that the fourth paragraph was one of the strongest ones in her letter, because she clearly recognized the narrowness of her background, and this is an area she wants to work on. She didn't talk about her brother and her sense of humility and frustration at not being able to help him more. I'm assuming it's a woman, you'll notice. It could well be a man, and he's talking about his brother, but this was my intuitive response. Yeah. But I thought it was very powerful and struck me as extremely sincere rather than insincere. So I was very persuaded, and I would definitely have been in the excellent category as well, or I was.
Last comment. Can't see as well, so.
Thanks. Sorry, I'm a Med 4 student. I just finished writing all our personal letters for our CARMS applications. I feel for whoever wrote this. No, I'm kidding. Just with regards to the sincerity, I think she commented a lot, or he or she, probably a she. There's a women's abuse shelter in there. She probably commented on all the things that I would think would be important to comment on, given what she went through, et cetera, and her experiences. She showed that she had considered these things. As far as the sincerity, I think it's very hard, knowing what it's like to write a letter, that you try to write very formally and you try to present, look very mature. I don't know how old this person is. Like you have excellent grammar, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that kind of removes some of the sincerity that would be inherently there. So I don't know if I'm incorrect as a student in assuming that, but I'd just be I personally would be aware of that scary factor there.
Okay. All right. So again, the point is to get you thinking about how you're interpreting, where they're coming from. What we're asking you to engage in is a critical reflexivity, really, an idea of knowing where your stuff is coming from. Number four, score the extent to which this candidate's experiences as included in their CVPN narrative will contribute positively to the goal of a profession constituted of persons with a wide variety of life exposure. So this is a bit more, again, it's the breadth idea. So vote. Keep voting. I'll stop at 40. Here we have good agreement. Again, actually, we won't discuss this in detail. We actually have good agreement that this candidate is between strong and very strong. Again, I think that some of the previous discussion is relevant here. We did find your experiences with some breath. You had a question or comment? It is similar, but it's not totally the same thing. They're not completely orthogonal to each other, or completely separate from each other. They do overlap a little bit in what they evaluate. So this last question is the one that we always ask, right? So at the interview stage, it's suitability for being interviewed, but in the MMI stage, it's suitability for being a doctor. So let's have your votes on this one. So we have pretty good agreement here as well, right? We're within one of either side and a kind of like a high number above 50% who saw this candidate as very strong. So I think we are getting pretty good agreement, and usually in the fifth question the agreement will be better because it's a bit more of an integrative kind of question. So I hope with this exercise, and I'm sorry that we don't get a chance to do the second one, I hope with this exercise that the message from this exercise is a good reader is one who engages in critical reflexivity. That means who questions his or her interpretations and is able to articulate where they're coming from so that there can be at least an internal dialogue around whether they're reasonable or not. And I think all that what was brought up here was very, very reasonable. Okay. What I'd like to do right now, I just want to move forward. Yeah, so we're just going to move forward with that. So what I'd like to review right now, and maybe I'll just do this quickly, is that we're going to be using Center Stage this year. You're going to be getting 100 files per reader for those of you that have said. We're going to ask for a 2 to 3 week turnaround and 2 readers per file, each contributing 15% to the 30%. If you want something to be fact-checked, like if you read something and you're not sure about it and we have a list of verifiers, there will be a way for you to indicate that to us. It wasn't an issue that was encountered. In actual fact, we verified some files last year as well. But it was a rumor. It was a rumor that was out there that people are inflating their files and so on. It was a rumor at Vanier CEGEP, actually. But it turned out to be nothing more than a rumor. But it's an important part of letting students know that we're on it. Right, that we're randomly verifying things, or more than randomly verifying things. So Doug, and then in the back.
So I have a sort of a general problem with the personal narratives. It guarantees
hundreds and hundreds of journal papers and so on that have gone up this huge. The grammar, the way it's written, is not at that level. It's way above. Now, I would have a suspicion that if you write this, is there any way I could have that checked?
So there is what we say, okay, is that what you get in there is the student's judgment of what to include or not include, okay? So that is, in the end, that's sort of what you're judging, really. Not whether it was a writing sample that they made. I think for the vast majority of students, it is a writing sample that they made, but it's been shown to 700 people, right? Because it's a terribly important thing, right, to students. So really what it's about and what I would encourage is that you think of it this way when you're reading these letters. It's what judgment they had, what to include or not. If you're concerned about plagiarism, you can flag that to us, and we actually have, the university has plagiarism software that we can run stuff through. Ghostwriting. So ghostwriting is not something that we can, again, it's the judgment of what to include or not include. So in the background, I can't remember.
Yeah. So we say here that the two scores are aggregated to nearly 30%. When we were just doing the practice, we were then looking for whether scores are comparable with each other. So is there an internal validation where if the two scores are dramatically different, then it's triggering a third independent review?
We don't have that in the process. We have it as it comes together. My plan, so one of the things that we've been struggling with is that we don't have good psychometric expertise available to us until April. There's someone who's joining the faculty who will help us understand that. But my plan is to actually review completely the psychometric properties of this approach to scoring to understand if we should be changing our process. But it's really, really important from a fairness and transparency point of view that we have a process and we stick to it. So the process this year is that we're averaging your scores. Okay. There was one question over there. We're not, in general, responding to spelling errors, right? However, again, it's a really, really important thing, right? So it's a kind of like a judgment. It's a judgment to have not had that checked by 700 people. Now, I don't think that there are many students who do not possess the resources of someone to check their spelling, just to address the resource access issue. Last comment in the back.
Do you decide ahead of time how many people are being interviewed, or you interview everybody above a certain score?
Because of the MMIs, it's a limit. You know, it's 500 spots that we have. Yeah. All right. What I'm going to propose is that we go through Rob's session, and then we take a break. And then we'll very quickly do the updates from the committees and then do the MMI practicum. So let's do Rob's session, which I think is about 15 minutes. And I'll just...